Good evening. Everyone associated with the Moncton Wildcast podcast sends its thoughts and prayers to the family and friends of the victims of the terrible tragedy that happened Friday, August 10th in Fredericton, New Brunswick. Hashtag New Brunswick Strong. What is up, Moncton? Welcome to another edition of the Moncton Wildcast, Season 2, Episode 2.
I'm here again with my co-host,
Chris Dobson,
Jeremy Boucher. How was your night, gentlemen?
On top of the world, my friend. I know things are good from here. Camp is just around the corner, so I know we're finally going to have lots of stuff to talk about. But I'm not going to take a lot of time because one of our better counterparts here is two provinces away. So, Jeremy, I know you're up in Ontario, buddy. What are you doing out there?
Oh, you know, just enjoying vacation. I've been laying on the beach for about 4 days, and about as red as a lobster right now. Hopefully by Saturday, this becomes a nice tan, and I'm looking pretty.
Living the dream.
I was going to ask about that tan exactly and how things are looking so far. I mean, are we talking sunburn or are we talking dark tan? What's going on out there?
Oh, we are talking red. Well, the face is looking good. The face has got a nice tan tint on it. But the rest of the body, it's a dirt, not very comfortable. Cold showers, not fun.
So Adam, let's get into it, buddy. Camp's just around the corner, man. Let's chat.
The best part about having you guys here is I get to discuss things instead of just talking into a microphone. So I'm gonna go back a little bit. We're just outside of camp, and I want to talk about the captain. Who should be the captain of this team? Because we lost Welsh. I put a poll on Twitter. McKenna was the overwhelming favorite at 57%. There was Aspero, McDonald, and other Sylvester and Pelche. Who do you guys believe should be the captain of this Moncton Wildcats team?
I'll go first, Jeremy, if you don't mind. I'll take my shot at it here. You know, there's a lot of options. You know, you could look at a guy like Sylvester. If I'm the Wildcat, you got to remember, when you're looking for a captain, you're looking for a guy who's a leader in the room as well as on the ice. The big thing you got to come into play here is, I mean, there's a lot of options. I mean, Aspero, your list was great. Yeah. And, you know, I can't see Jeremy McKenna captaining this team. I mean, Jeremy's, you know, he's a quiet leader, but he's one of the best in the league. I'm not saying, again, we're not in the locker room, so I have no idea. I will tell you that at the end of the day, I hope the team votes on it. I you know, that's how they go. And I hope the team runs that route, but I wouldn't be surprised, guys. I mean, there could be, you know, and I'm going to throw a name out there. He's young, but this is his hockey team. And if you could tell by the way he leads on and off the ice, the guy's always smiling. He's leading this group of guys around. He's just coming back to town with a brand new gold medal, even though he didn't play in there. Yeah. You got to think Jacob Pelche is in that conversation.
Jeremy? Absolutely. I have to agree. Like you said, it's his name. It's his team. He's the face of the future, like you said last week, Dobson. There's no reason why I wouldn't want Jacob Pelche to be the captain of my team. If you're looking at assistants, obviously you have to go with McKenna easily, Sylvester, Mika Seer. There's tons of leadership in that room. And if Pelche gets the C, it's because the veterans respect the decision. I have no reason to believe that they wouldn't.
So to play devil advocate, is his team, but not too young? Or is this a situation where he's going to lead, Lafreniere is going to lead Rimouski, it's a young kids league?
Well, that's a good point. And I mean, if you look at, even to go to the leagues higher than this, if you go to the National Hockey League, I mean, that's your move now. That's your go-to, except unless you're the Leafs, because you don't name captains there, although you went and got John Tavares. You should do that. I agree. But I mean, you look at your young teams, I mean, you know, and it all started back in the day when Pittsburgh gave Sid the C. I mean, Sid was young. Colorado gave it to Gabriel Landeskog. Obviously, Edmonton gave it to Connor McDavid
at the time.
Exactly. So, I mean, I understand it's tough to compare the Canadian Hockey League to the National Hockey League, but at the same time, I mean, that's the route they're taking. And if they do feel that Jacob Pelche is ready to go and wear this C, then why wouldn't you give it to him? But again, it could go to a lot of guys. It's just I wanted to throw his name off the books because it's not some guy's name you see up in the conversation all the time. So, I mean, at the end of the day, like Jeremy said, I mean, this is going to be a respected veteran's decision. So, either way, I'm excited.
You got you already heard my opinion. It's like Chris said, Pelche is young, but he can carry the weight of the entire team on his shoulders. He's just, you won't find a harder working guy on the ice. And if you look at it this way, if you give a C to a 17-year-old kid, how are the rookies going to look to him? Like, they're going to look up at this kid and be like, yeah, I got to play like him if I want to make it like him. And those are just some of the points. I mean, there's no reason why he shouldn't get it, but the age has to be taken into consideration.
Is there any way to go a home and road one? Give one of them and give the other C to a vet?
That's been done in Moncton before. I'm not a big fan of it. I like to see just one guy stick it out, lead the team. This home and away stuff.
Let's be real, like Jeremy. It. I mean, that home and away stuff was a publicity stunt here in Moncton. I mean, not to take away from the Saulnier twins. You know, they were local guys. They tried it out for a year, and in my opinion, it did not work. You know, they did what they had to do. They sold the jerseys. And again, I like the Sauniers. They were great. Obviously, they were a huge impact here on this organization. But I do believe that was more of a, what do we do here? Because they were the veterans. That was the right decision to make at the time. But yeah, I would be hard pressed to believe we'll ever see that again.
Unless my twin nephews come up the system, you know, make it to the queue, maybe we'll test it out. But no, I can't see it ever happening again.
All right. So with camp, let's move into camp. And the biggest story coming into camp that's not in Moncton is Peltz's injury in their last round robin game against Sweden. They say about 6 weeks. It's no surgery. Are there any worries or concerns he's not in the lineup for the home opener?
No, I can't see it. Again, I'm not a doctor, but yeah, just play one on TV. But yeah, no, but at the end of the day, they've made it very clear. And like you said, no surgery is required because that would have been devastating. But you know, coming into the regular season, no, I don't think there's anything to worry about. I think obviously they're going to put him through the proper protocol. Moncton has some of the best, you know, medical staff in the business. They're going to make sure he's 100% ready to go. I think it's going to be sad that we're not going to get a chance to see him in the preseason, but ultimately you want that guy ready to go.
Of
the preseason?
Yeah.
No. I don't think there's any need to. I mean, there was a great article that came out, and sorry, I'm going to give you some airtime here in a second, Jimmy, but it's one of those things where the great article today talking about the veterans need to watch out because these young kids are starting to push. Peltier is a lock. I don't think that's a question. So anyways, it is what it is. Am I concerned? No, I'm not. But I'm very, very open to hear other people's suggestions.
Let's be honest. 6 weeks, that brings us right straight to the opening of the season. If it carries into – if it happens to be longer than 6 weeks and you look at someone who might be able to step in and play with Sear and McKenna on the top line, I'm going to throw out a name here, Adam Capinelli. Only reason why I say that is if you go back to the 2016 rookie showcase in Moncton, those three played together together, and they had some great chemistry together. They were known as the CCM line, Capinelli, Sear, McKenna. And it's just, they just complement each other so well. Just the Capinelli's ability to win the faceoffs, Sear's playmaking ability, McKenna's ability to score goals, just those three together. If it happens to be longer than 6 weeks for Peltier, I'd love to see Capinelli back with those two.
Plus, you got to remember too, Jeremy, I mean, if you look back to the postseason time too, you know, at the end of the year, I mean, Adam had a tough start last year, obviously getting hurt in the first red and white game in his first shift, and he was out for a long period of time. Yeah, his very first shift in the red white game last year, he took a shot off the ankle. But if you look at it, like, he was one of Rums' key face-off guys down the stretch. I mean, he was the guy in the middle doing what he had to do. So if you've got a guy like Capinelli, I love that choice, Jeremy. I think you're bang on. I would love to see him up there.
It's a no-brainer. I mean, I think McDonald had some time I guess Sears out injured, but McDonald had some time with Peltier and McKenna last year. It just wasn't really a good fit for me. But just the speed factor with those three, Capinelli, Sear, and McKenna. I mean, they're going to, if it happens to be those three that the start of the season because of Pelt's injury, man, they're going to wreak some havoc on some defensemen because they're going to be able to drive wide on all those guys and get to the net.
So, Jeremy, I'm going to put you on the spot here, bud, because I know that you've been frothing at the mouth ever since we had things going here. You said you've got some big surprise news we're going to unleash here tonight, and I'm going to give you the floor, bud.
Well, let's not say big surprise news, but some news on some players who – who were supposed to be in camp and who may not have been coming to camp. First of all, there's going to be 60 players in total at training camp. The first week, you'll see 7 goalies, 15 defensemen, and 24 forwards. The veterans will report the second week, and you'll see 2 goalies, 3 defensemen, and 9 forwards join at that point. If you look at the 7 goalies who were rookies, I can't even name them off the top of my head, but just looking at the Q site, I think we mentioned some of them last week. Gaudreau, Parody, Lavallee. I think our American that's taken in the second round, Colin Freitas, will be here. There's Jack Grant. I can't think of the other two off the top of my head, and that's my bad. And then, of course, the 2 veteran goalies will be LeClaire and the OHL free agent that was just announced today, Riley Daniels. He'll be reporting with the veterans for week 2. In terms of our draft picks from from 2 months ago in June, Mark Hillier, who was selected 64th overall, he has decided not to come to camp. He's decided to go back to St. Andrews College in Ontario for another year, but he has every intention of being a Wildcat for the 2019 and 2020 season. So that's a bit of a surprise. Many thought he'd be able to contend for a spot on the fourth line, but obviously this is his decision, and we wish him all the best. And lastly, Brandon Walker, who was our 167th overall selection in the 10th round, will be at camp. Only reason why I'm bringing him up is, well, he was telling a lot of teams focusing on the college route, and he's decided that he's actually going to come and give it a shot here in Moncton. He's listed as a forward on EliteProspects.com, but he is in fact a defenseman. He's an offensive defenseman, smart, great skater, super creative. So he's really someone to look out for. He finished 3rd amongst the 15-year-old defensemen, Quebec Midget AAA, last season. And the 2 that finished ahead of him were actually first round picks. So think of this, he was taken in the 10th round, and only 2 defensemen that played in Midget AAA last year that were 15 were drafted ahead of him. So you have William Villeneuve, who went 2nd overall to St. John, and Jeremy Poirier, who went 8th overall to St. John. So you're getting a guy that was drafted in the 10th round, the 3rd highest scoring 15-year-old defenseman in Quebec Midget AAA scoring. So it's good that he's going to be giving us a shot. He could definitely, someone I can definitely see.
That's the one position where you're going to see a lot of people fighting and fighting for it. And we talked about it last week, guys. I mean, there's some free agent defensemen coming to camp. In fact, there's some big right-handed free agent defensemen coming to camp, right? That's what you're looking for. If you can find this kid, this diamond in the rough, 10th round pick who shows up in arguably the weakest spot on our roster, of course this kid's going to make an impact. Yep. I mean, if he wants to be here, exactly. And I mean, and let's be real, Richie's been phenomenal at recruiting players to go, you know, when he's been involved.
Hashtag in Richie we trust.
I mean, he puts together a winner. That's what he wants to do. And he's made it very clear that as interim general manager right now, that's his goal. Everything stays and everything runs. Like, they're looking to build, you know, if they can get through this. But yeah, no, either way, I think that's great. That's exciting news, man. I'm fired up.
Yeah, I don't even want to talk about it anymore. I just want to see it. I just want to watch it. I just want to be in the ring watching it. Like, I've been doing this for 2 months talking about the same stuff. I'm excited to watch it. And next week's episode, we can talk about what we've actually seen and who's had the impact out of the rookies that I can't remember how many you said were coming to camp next week.
There's going to be, I said 7 goalies, 15 defensemen, and 24 forwards.
Oh, that'll be fun to watch them. So we're 48 hours away from camp. We're beating that horse dead. We're going to shift gears just a little bit. Today in the queue, Shanigan announced they're getting another outdoor game against Renew Team Quebec, February 8th and 9th. Of course, anything can happen, but is there any chance we ever see an outdoor game in Moncton at UDM against St. John and Bathurst?
I'll tell you right now. I mean, if they're smart, this is the second time they've done it, and they've done it out in, you know, the Quebec side of the league. Yeah. I think you've got an absolute potential opportunity. Now, you got to remember, putting together an outdoor game takes a lot of work. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of money involved. You know, at the end of the day, they wanted to see if this was going to work well. I think, you know, and before your time, Adam, things come through, and you'll notice that when every time Moncton played St. John for the last few years, they have what they call the Rivalry Cup. Okay, so obviously that's a big Moncton St. John rivalry.
Halifax Cape Breton thing.
Yeah, very similar. Yeah, so that rolls through. Now, it would be amazing on like a New Year's Day, depending on weather. You know, very similar to the, you know, the Winter Classic that they have the National Hockey League, to have an outdoor game at, and U2M's a prime spot. That'd be perfect. They've got the stadium built. It's exactly, the seating's already there. The question is couldn't you draw the fans out? Because weather's going to play a factor, right? I mean, you're not going to get that big piece. You're not going to get like, you know, the publicity will be great, but can you draw the fans in? You basically have to give tickets away next to nothing just to make sure that place has got people in it, which is fine, but you got to remember this is a business.
Right?
So at the end of the day, would I love to see it? 100%. I would love to see Moncton go toe-to-toe with St. John in an outdoor game. But again, there's a lot of factors involved.
You back-to-back it with St. John on Friday and Bathurst on an all New Brunswick outdoor thing back-to-back.
Yeah, it would be tough, but you got to remember, and again, you got to put the safety of the kids at play here too, right? Yeah. So, I mean, again, it would take a lot of money. Would I love to see it? Absolutely. Do I think we'll see it here? If it's successful again this year, I think there's a chance we could.
Jeremy?
I absolutely hate outdoor games. I cannot stand them. I despise of them. I think they're ridiculous. I mean...
So you're saying you like them?
Don't even it was fun the first time. It was fun the first time, and then you watch an NHL one, and for crying out loud, didn't they have one in California?
Yeah, like, let's be real. What was the best part about the outdoor game? The series, the HBO series leading up to the outdoor game.
Yes. But you're not going to have that in the queue. If there was a lead up with
First
an HBO
of all, you
series,
never know that's not going to happen. We know some pretty big media people that could make that happen.
You're true, but there's already been queue games outdoors and all that, and there hasn't been something like that. It's just I'm not the one to complain about the cold. I'm not going to hear and say I hate the outdoor games because of the cold.
Says the guy with the sunburn.
Well, yeah, it's the player. It's what you said, Chris. It's the player safety. There's too much of a risk of injury. I hate it. I can't stand outdoor games. I will never watch one. I will never go to one. Just stop. It needs to stop.
The thing with the NHL is I keep using the same 16s. I was in Calgary when Calgary did theirs after the Habs and the Flames, and the Hitmen in the past played, I think it was like -27, but because it was scheduled, you have to play. You can't move anything. This is a McMahon Stadium. It looked terrible. That's why I think
if you're going to do it, it cannot count as a regular season game. That's the part that infuriates me. They did it in the World Juniors last year, like when Canada played the U.S. And that was and I agree with Jeremy 100% on that part. What an absolute waste. If you want to do it as a publicity stunt, no problem. You can't make the game count in the standings.
No. When you do it, to not make it count in the standings. You can't do a preseason. It's too hot. You have to do it in the regular season. You can't just not make it count in the middle of the regular season.
Why not?
I don't know. I'm asking. That's I've never seen it, but
and maybe they do it.
You got people complaining they're going to have to walk 10 minutes to the new rink, and you want them to sit outside for 3 hours to watch a hockey game? You think that's going to work in Moncton? Give me a break. Get out of town.
Look, I just thought no change. Talk about because the building's already there. You don't even have to build it.
All right. So apparently we've got Jeremy's opinion. He doesn't think we should have one. Apparently he's a hard no. There's a hard line there.
If they wanted an outdoor game in Moncton, well, they should have built a retractable roof on that new rink. That's what they should have done.
there is Exhibit A, ladies and gentlemen, why I brought two other guys onto the show so that you could hear different opinions. I don't know. What any last thoughts for tonight's episode? 48 hours away from camp, gentlemen.
I guess I'll just update on a couple of free agents that we've added recently. So last week, there was Nolan Barrett that was added, 18-year-old defenseman from the hockey hotbed of Glen Ridge, New Jersey. played last season for the Selects Hockey Academy in Connecticut. 6'1", 180-pound defenseman, some good size there. He's very mobile. Plays a simple game. He's more of a shutdown guy. And then today we had Riley Daniels. I mentioned him earlier, 19-year-old goalie from Beamsville, Ontario. Played last season for the Kitchener Dutchmen of the
Quick
Ontario
question for you, Jeremy. I want to ask you about that. I mean, are you surprised by that bringing in a free agent goaltender?
Just this guy was a third-round pick in the 2015 OHL draft, and he was the fourth goalie overall selected. So he's got potential. He just hasn't reached it yet.
This could very well be the year
that he does, right?
Any chance that this we could see him push Leclerc for that starting position?
I wouldn't go that far. It's a possibility.
Pump the brakes, Uncle Dauber. Pump the brakes.
Well, it's possible. Do I see it happening? Not really. No, I don't see it happening. If this guy was dressed in 30 OHL games or something like that last year, I would maybe say yes. But you know, I think he had 7 games of OHL experience. So just not enough to push like a proven veteran like Leclerc. And
it's a small sample size for sure.
Yeah, and the competition is great. Competition's great. There's nothing wrong with competition. So hey, bring him in. See what he's got. If the worst thing that can happen is he gets cut, maybe he comes back at midseason when some trades are made. Who knows? Maybe he spends the first half of the season in the Maritime Hockey League for one of the, for a local team, gets called up in case there's injuries. Who knows? Like there's tons of possibilities that can happen with a 19-year-old goalie. And based on his numbers in Junior A, he can compete. I mean, 2.9 GAA, 900 save percentage. Not bad, right? Those are pretty respectable numbers for Junior A. But if you look at it, they're also on par with what Gaudreau did as a 17-year-old in Junior A. So you have to look at, right? I would give obviously the leg up to a younger guy, but the 19-year-old backup goalie, if that's their plan, well, it's kind of it just pushes back development for the young guys, and that's not something that that I support.
To me, it just reeked of insurance if one of the kids isn't able to grab one of the spots. But again, this is what we get to watch in the next, well, I guess 2 weeks, because he won't be here for 2 weeks. But as always, this has been fantastic. Can't wait to get going. Can't wait to get the link and actually see these players perform on the ice and give us something to talk about next week. So everyone, you can follow us on social media, Twitter, Wildcast, Instagram, Moncton Wildcast, Facebook, Moncton Wildcast, and download this at Podbean and Spotify very shortly. I'm Adam. For Chris, Jeremy, have a good night.
Good night.
Bye-bye.